all of us, in this subject as I see AA World Service through the prisons, hospitals, and churches. Virgil?
Thank you, Wes. I think Fish didn't tell half that story, what he said I said about Dave. It is also bad to follow such an eloquent speaker and then be followed by the barrister from Marysville. Well, I'm happy to be here, and although I wish that I had another subject to talk on, as I look around this room in the various categories of prisons and hospitals and churches, I see people that would be more qualified to talk on the subject than I. But Wes asked me, and he didn't ask me either. He called me up and told me that that was my subject. And after hearing Ruth talk this morning and give such a wonderful story on hospitals, I thought to change my tact and approach to this subject. And like Dave spoke of this morning, I can only tell of my experience here in Georgia on these three subjects. And I would like to take them in order of prisons. I know that all three subjects, however, are subjects that it is very easy for we alcoholics to back off from when we bump into adversity and say, well, it's not worthwhile. The percentage is not there. We speak that we're lucky that if we get one or two out of a particular period of time out of a prison or a hospital into AA to where they find their sobriety and stay sober. I never thought of it before, but as I listened to Ruth this morning when she mentioned that we have approximately 400,000 AAs, sober AAs, and that we had approximately 6.5 to 8 million operating alcoholics in the United States, that when you take the percentage of 400,000 and compare it with 6.5 to 8 million, your percentage of one or two out of a prison or hospital from 1,800 to 2,000, it's not bad percentage. So it's not too low. When I first came into AA, and shortly after that, we had a group operating in the Stone Mountain Prison, which was a branch of our state prison system. I was quite thrilled to visit this group and take part in it. I was new enough in AA that I was listening at that time rather than doing too much talking as I am now. Shortly after I was in AA, there was a prisoner escaped from this prison camp, and shortly thereafter, the warden did away with the AA group in that prison. I questioned the fact of why that AA group was stopped, and I was told that the warden didn't like AA anyway, that he didn't want it in his prison camp, And the escape of this prisoner was an excuse to him to stop the meetings. Not knowing any better, I accepted this explanation, which was true, but I didn't delve further into the fact of why someone in AA didn't go to this warden and use the effort to explain to him that there was no connection between the prisoner escaping and the AA meeting. In fact, he was not a member of the AA group. He had not attended the AA group. But I, like most of them, merely criticized the warden because he didn't like AA and he didn't want it in his camp. This came home to me very forcefully shortly after I was elected delegate of Georgia. I was invited down to the spring meeting of our Reidsville State Prison, which is the main prison of our state system. And when we went in at about 9:30 that morning, when ushered out to the auditorium where the meeting was to be held, as I walked along the walk, I heard this blaring band. And I didn't think too much of it. I didn't see anything particularly wrong with a band playing before an AA meeting started at 10 o'clock. And it stopped at 10 and the meeting started. Their GSR and chairman got up and started the meeting. And as we proceeded along, they had about a 15-minute AA talk from an inmate, and then the band played some more. And then they had about a 15-minute talk from an outsider, and then they had a hillbilly band get up and play. And all the time that these speakers were talking, you couldn't hear a word they were saying, and I was sitting on the front row. Because there were about 600 to 800 inmates and their wives or girlfriends sitting back in the audience, smooching and kissing and hugging and God knows what else they were doing back in there. But you couldn't hear the speaker for them talking. And even one of the assistant wardens tried to call them down. This went on until time for lunch, and we had lunch and came back and sat down again at lunchtime. And lo and behold, I hadn't been sitting in my seat 5 minutes till this go-go band comes out on the stage from Augusta, Georgia. And here is this young girl comes out on the stage doing the Watusi. And this went on for about an hour. And this was the procedure in the spring meeting of the Reidsville State Prison until 2 o'clock that afternoon. I called my institutional committeeman who was there and the committeeman of that area, and we discussed this situation. And we decided to ask for an audience with the warden, which he graciously gave to us, and we sat down with him in his office, along with two or three of his assistant wardens. And we stated to this man that we had been to a lot of AA meetings, but that was an innovation, and that we didn't approve of it, and we wanted to discuss it with him. And this man told us that he was very happy that we had come to see him, that he was under the impression that AA approved of that, because no one had ever informed him otherwise, and that he was just ready to put AA out of that prison, that that was the last meeting that they were going to have. I think our literature tells us that we ought to work with the wardens of these prisons, that we have no authority. But it certainly doesn't tell us that we can't suggest to these men, and we can't tell these men that we don't approve of what's going on in these meetings, and guide them along the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know that these men in Reedsville were appreciative of that. Because when we got through with our meeting, the officers of this AA group was called into a joint meeting. And from that point on, they had a reorganization. And they have been having good AA meetings in that prison since. From this point on, they're screening their men into the point of whether they're honestly desiring to find an answer to their problem of alcoholism, where before anybody could come. And what happened in the prisons was this, that even the wardens didn't realize that the prisoners in there were putting pressure on the members of Alcoholics Anonymous and threatening them with bodily harm and causing them to put on this kind of a show. They were afraid to do anything about it, and I don't blame them. The only people that could do anything about it was the wardens of the prisons, and they did. But I said we have a wonderful meeting there now. On the anniversary, we invited Bud from Florida to come up, and he came up and was our speaker. And I think he'll attest that there is wonderful cooperation there now. But I believe we back away from these things rather than going to the source of where the problem is. I think the same thing exists in our hospitals. I never had any much experience in anything but an alcoholic hospital. I supported one of those here in Atlanta for 2 or 3 years. But our literature is referring us mostly to rehabilitation hospitals other than drying out clinics. And I believe that our situation there is of the same, basically, that it is in a prison. Down at our Milledgeville State Hospital, we have a wonderful operation there now. We have some dedicated men that have stuck with this program. I get reports from Milledgeville every week on their meetings, and they're having anywhere from 75 to 100 total members attending their AA meetings at the Milledgeville Mental State Hospital. I can recall not too far back when we were fighting that battle. And when I say fighting these battles with these hospitals and with these prisons, I believe that we are, as AAs, are our worst enemies. As mentioned on this podium 2 or 3 times today, we are prone to force our authority, to force our wishes on to these doctors, these psychiatrists, these wardens and sponsors of these groups in these prisons and hospital institutions. And when they don't agree with us, we back off and criticize. And this criticism gets back to these hospitals, and they get back to these prisons. And then that makes our problem doubly hard when we try to get back in and try to get these groups back operating in these institutions again. We have a wonderful alcoholic clinic here in Atlanta with the medical director, Dr. Fox. I have been working for some time, and members before me have been working to get an AA group started in this clinic. And we have been turned down. It's apparently we had been bumping our head against the wall to try to get it started. Dr. Fox, personally, is one of the best friends that AA has in Georgia. But her staff is the one that must put the approval on this AA group. And I have been before that staff and talked to them many times along AA. And finally, last week, it looked as if we're beginning to bear a little fruit. I talked to Dr. Fox on the phone, and she told me that she had a surprise in her recent staff meeting, that one of her staff members spoke up and said, "Well, Dr. Fox, I think I'm about ready to accept the competition of AA. And being an alcoholic, I told Dr. Fox, "What does she mean, competition? We don't want to compete with her clinic. We want to cooperate with them." And she kindly said, "Well, Virgil, I understand that too. What I'm saying to you is at least we have had a breakthrough." I said, "Well, possibly it's time for me to come back to the clinic and talk to your staff again." And she told me that she was going to bring it up at her next staff meeting and ask them if they were willing for me to come back, and I'm sure they will. So with some patience and some tolerance and some understanding of our hospital and prison operation, I'm quite sure that time will cause us to be successful. Getting over to the churches, this is a subject I feel a little more free to talk on. As most of you know, I'm a frustrated minister anyway. But I think here too that we as AAs have failed to reach our clergymen and our churches because we have not gone to them with our problem. We sit back and wait for them to come to us. How many AAs have I heard talk that have said that I went to this pastor and I went to that pastor and the other pastor and they couldn't do me any good, and I'm one of them? But never once have I heard one of those people speaking that came into AA and got sober that said that they went back to their pastor then and told their pastor, "I have found a way of sobriety. I went into AA and I got sober," and told him about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I would like to cite my own church as an example. And I am at fault here until I reached the point that I thought I was going to die, and others did. Our pastor was very vehement against alcoholism. To him, alcoholism was a sin. It was a moral sin, and he wanted to talk about it at all. A very good friend of mine and some of yours who became a minister after he came into AA and found sobriety went before the board to be ordained that my minister was on. And my minister voted against his ordination because he was an alcoholic. Several of the members of this church that I belong, and my wife and I was one of them, gradually, one by one, told him, I believe my wife was first, when she was in a hospital losing her kidney, that she was an alcoholic. Later, on the strength of this, I very vehemently told this minister that I had come into Alcoholics Anonymous and that I had found my sobriety and that he didn't have anything to do with it. And then several other members of his church began to go to him and tell him that they were alcoholics and that they had found sobriety in AA and he didn't have anything to do with it. Until that man finally began to realize how many of his congregation were alcoholics and he hadn't helped them. I'm happy to report today that we have an AA group in this minister's church meeting on every Thursday night. And he is so wrapped up in Alcoholics Anonymous that he breaks everybody's anonymity in the church. One of the members who is now a deacon in the church was, when he was first elected to the board of deacons, was invited to his first deacon's meeting. And he was telling of the fact that as he walked into this meeting, that the minister hollered out, he said, "Gentlemen," he says, "I want you to meet our new deacon. He is the one that operates the AA club here in the church." So he's happy with it. And I put all of this in our lap. This is a message that we need to carry to the ministers, not wait for them to come and ask for it, just as we carry it to the suffering alcoholic. We need to go to the wardens of the prisons and carry this message of AA to them. We need, when we see something going wrong and operating beyond the principles of AA in the prisons, to call it to their attention. We need to do the same thing in hospitals. And we need to practice in all of these instances our patience and tolerance and understanding that we are supposed to learn through Alcoholics Anonymous. These are my opinions. These are what I have learned through my experience since I have been in AA. I hope that there may be something there somewhere that will help you. Thank you.